to see you. Just look into the Word. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I just pray that the Lord would bless. Remember, Anna's sick tonight. Remember that Wade and June are over. He's preaching for Brother Burley, and he'll be traveling back tonight. So remember that. Now, remember this coming Saturday for the ministers only now, not for anyone else, just ministers only. Then there will be a meeting here beginning at 10 o'clock this coming Saturday and until. And June is going to be, he's in charge basically with getting the food up and everything. So remember that. And if you want to come and help and to do that, will be fine. Whatever. So remember that. Also remember then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday at Brother Tom Crescane's. We'll be leaving Wade's house about 10 o'clock. But we have to give extra time to get across the mountain to where they're at. So just remember that. So remember these traveling. Brother Bill there, he said he's going back down Florida way and tomorrow. So remember him and your travels and things the Lord would bless. Amen. Anything else? We always forget something. Oh, yeah. Brother Anderson and Sister Anna wants us to come to their house this coming Sunday afternoon, right after the services, to dedicate their home unto the Lord. Well, it's just a few minutes right across here on this road, about maybe 7 or 8 miles. And so if you want to go with us, just remember after the evening service, we will try to go over to their home to dedicate their house there. Amen. All right. Like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1 and 1 Peter 1 for our reading tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things, and we ask you to just bless us with your presence and your love and your grace and your guidance. Because that's what we desire tonight, is for you to come among us, to not just record our actions and things, but to be the preeminent one in each one of our hearts and lives. Remember Wade Dyers, he's ministering tonight for Brother Burley, and just bless him and take care of him traveling, and just let your love be there. Guide each and every one. Remember Anna, Lord, and touch her, this old sinus conditions, and just all of the sicknesses among us. And you promised it, so we believe it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. We thank you for the testimonies, the things of your love and your grace. We love you. Now just have your way as we read your word. You come and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Revelations 1, 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. All right, now 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, what about all of those Old Testament prophets? They were not speaking of themselves and things. They were speaking about us and what would come to pass. See, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. See, it was speaking of all of the things and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed. It was made known to them that it wasn't for them, but unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported among you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So what are we to do now? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we're in the book of Revelations and trying to do a study on these things. And we're coming up in and just now beginning to get to the point that we started on back about 2 months ago. as to trying to speak about and getting into the Revelations chapter 5 and the things that was there in the Bible. And I hope it's been helpful to you to study in these things and to see what all of these symbols mean, because thank God for the sending of the prophet to where that we could understand the symbols. See, we questioned this, we questioned that. But then when God sent us a prophet and told us, well, these things mean this. And then it was so simple until we were stumbling over it, looking for some kind of a monster, you know, or something to come stumbling around and doing all over the earth and all like that. I never did understand how that was going to deceive anybody. I could understand how it could step on somebody, but not deceive you, you know, because it's not, that wouldn't be a religious matter. It needs to be something closer at hand. But now what we've been trying to talk about is we're actually studying on the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why we've read this in Revelations 1 for every service so far, because the entire Bible, as we were talking about this past Sunday, especially the afternoon service, trying to get to a point to see, but the entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because it was to reveal God made manifest on earth living with you and I. And that would fulfill then Emmanuel, that the scripture said, you know, which means God with us. So while he was here on earth, Almighty God came down to pay the price. Now, I want you to watch tonight, and I'm going to say it, and then if I have time, I'll get back to it. If I don't, I'll pick it up Sunday. But if you'll notice, and when we're reading in a minute, that it talks of, you know, a man to be worthy to take the book. Well, then we know that it said, you know, weep not, John, because the lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, we know all about where Jesus came from, and we'll get to that in a minute. But notice it was calling for a man to come forth, and John saw, well, you know, the elder was talking about a lion. Well, then once that symbol is broken, then you can understand that it was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's where the lineage, earthly speaking, of where that would come down to Jesus, you know, and doing that. But what I want you to think about is what form are you dealing with on redemption? Because we know that 2,000 years ago on earth, a man died for our sins. And we know he was the kinsman redeemer, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he paid the price. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost there. All right? The new birth into the hearts of the saints. But had you never thought about that, why would you have to have it written out like you do to come to the book of Revelations and speaking of that no one was worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof? Well, it sounds like that, you know, if you just read that without comprehension of the end time and the way we understand, then, you know, maybe your mind, I know it doesn't work like mine, and I'm glad it don't, but still, that's just the way I think. But because it'd be mass confusion if we all thought alike, especially like me. But the point I'm trying to get is that why would you have the book of Revelations talking about needing a kinsman? I'm letting that coast a little bit. What is the purpose? What is the concept or thought or idea of coming over into the book of Revelations in 2,000 years after almost the birth of the church, of the coming of the day of Pentecost, of the new birth into the heart of mankind? And then John is weeping because unless a lamb can come forth and take the book, all is lost. I pause. I want you to think about that. I like to get you to think. I like to get people to think. I like for you to think about what I'm saying. You know, think or thank, ever how you use them words. I don't have the education to keep up with it. You do that part. But why would you have to have a redeemer? What is the purpose or the idea or the thought? Maybe there's more into this than we're trying to comprehend. Yeah. Because we know for sure Jesus Christ died. Right. The writer said he died. You know, those personal witnesses said he died. They said he rose. They said he came back. They said he was our kinsman redeemer. They said he was our advocate, our high priest. You know, I'm quoting the scriptures of Paul and Peter and them, you know. But why would you need a kinsman to come forth in the book of Revelations? I won't try to attempt to express any thought on that other than just that thought. I'll leave that with you to think about a while, because it may be very interesting when we get on down a little further. All right. But now, we've been studying about the, as we read there in Revelations 5:1, you know, about the one sitting on the throne. And we know that that's a fulfillment of the fourth chapter, because John was taken up to and saw the throne and one sitting on the throne, 24 elders, the different things. And then we came over into the fifth chapter, and we say that it's a scene. It's not a verse-by-verse more. It's a scene. It's an opening. You're beginning to see a picture. If you understand, you know, and God will help me to break it down, that, see, chapter 4 is a verse-by-verse expression of this, 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 this. But when you come to the fifth chapter, it is more or less opening up a scene. You're beginning to see in your vision or thoughts the things that the fourth chapter was speaking of. And that's what I've been trying to get you to line it with. Maybe if I could find words tonight to express those thoughts. That, you know, one is a verse by verse. Like I told you, even Paul's writings, Peter's writings, they were writing of something or writing of someone, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they would speak about him being in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But when you're coming to the emphasis of the book of Revelations, you're dealing with more dealing into seeing the bride of Christ. All right, now read chapter 5 with that in mind, to where that you can see yourself sitting there, and you'll see it's more of a scene then, because it, in other words, the writing of the book is like you would take, what do you call it, script. Is that the word they use for it, script? Where a guy writes a story, you know, all right, then they make it into a movie. And they bring that down and they give you all of the scripts and the things, you know. Well, that's the things you're to read and to see. And that's what John was trying to get us to see through chapter 4. But now in chapter 5, it's entering a scene of reality. Something is actually taking place in reality, all right? And it's taking place right here, because we're not up there. And that's what I was trying to do there Sunday. Wade, he and I were talking last night. He said, "Daddy, I think you better have questions and answers." I said, "Well, we'll have it as quick as we can, you know, and just to see what's on your mind, to let's find out what you're thinking." I'm doing the best I can to try to bring it down to the point of revealing, you know. I can't reveal it because it takes God to do it. But we went through the things, and we're having to take a verse by verse. But what we're doing now is not taking the verse by verse to describe Jesus Christ as much as we're taking a scene of where he's at and what he's doing. See, now we see him more coming related toward the church, because you've got the one sitting on the throne, same as chapter 4. All right. But now, see, in chapter 4, you didn't see necessarily, unless you talk about us being the throne and the things like that, which I tried to emphasize. But now you see that our Sunday, we picked it up, that there was a book in his right hand. All right. Now, we know right hand means power and authority. It's not somebody sitting over here on a right hand, you know, because that wouldn't even be sensible. But it means right hand and authority, because the Bible says we're saved by his right hand, you know, by his power, his authority. All right. Now, then we covered how that authority is transmitted into you and I, because he gave the disciples, while he was here in Mark 6, verse 7, he gave them power over unclean spirits, and things like that. Well, then we read, we didn't have time to express it, but we read then, or talked on, in Revelation 2 and verse 26, to the overcomer, that he'd have power over all the nations. Well, see, that's a promise to the church ages. That was a promise to them. He gave them power, right? He gave them power over unclean spirit. They could go out, cast out devils, heal the sick, all kind of things, right? All right, but then when it comes to the church ages, see, he comes back and restates it to the overcomer. And remember, every overcomer receives all of the everything of all of the overcomers. All right, and he states it there that he would give power over the nations, even, you know, not only just unclean spirits and things, but see, knowing that it would have to have the end time would be a whole lot worse than natural sicknesses. We would come down here in the end time until you would be your spiritual condition dealing with your mind of what you're doing. All right. But then to see it, we're looking at a scene. So we've spent quite a while talking about the right hand, you know, the power and authority. And we talked about the book that was in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, and tried to show that was not a book like this, because back when that was written in AD 95, 96, they didn't have books like this. They had scrolls. All right, we went through the unrolling of the scroll and the seeing, and how you could do that with the, you know, and it'd have a tab sticking out, and that tab would be sticking out, and it would say Luke or Matthew or Mark or Isaiah or whatever, and then they could just reach and get those scrolls, and they could read it. All right, but then we tried to make it then bringing it from, because if you were listening, and that's what I'm trying to describe. You see, those were the scripts. Those were the writers of the play. You know, a man writes a book, all right, and then they put it into a movie, all right? And a lot of times it's a book about your natural, you know, people's lives. You know, I mean, they put the whole life story into a book form, all right? But see, if you're really doing it, I wouldn't want nobody else playing me in a movie, because it wouldn't be me, right? If it's ever a movie made that I'm in, I want to be the guy in the movie, you know. Why? Because I know about myself. Because you know how they do. They take those things and beef them up and try to make them a whole lot more illustrious, or what you call it, to the eye, and the temptations to hold you and stuff like that. All right, but the writing of the book. I told you then, and we covered how that there were only names written in the book that it's speaking of in Revelations. Only names written in that book. Because those were the names of the people of God. All right? But then we come to the earth, and we see while these names are being here, looking down at Peter, see? Now, it writes a story on earth about what's taking place while Peter is on earth, or Paul, or Moses, or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or whatever. And then it was brought down to what we call the Bible. See, then the Bible is not only the Lamb's Book of Life, bringing the names into being. The Bible is also the book of life, which means it covers life. It covered what happened in the days of Moses while Moses was here. Now, had it not been a time of a fall, see? And remember, if we get time, we'll go back and read these in a minute. I gave them to you. You know, back in the time of the fall of mankind, you know, if there hadn't been a fall, there wouldn't have been anybody here but the names of those that were the people of God. They were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. All right? But because of the fall of mankind, then other people came into being upon earth to make out the story and to make it right. And see, when Adam fell, then Brother Brown said the book went back to the one, the original owner. All right? Now, the book, not the Bible section of the entire Bible, because it hadn't even been written. But the book of names went back to the hand of the original owner. And he said, and then we see him now here sitting on the throne with that book in his hand. Well, then it's not this Bible up there, you know, King James Version, Thompson Chain, Scofield, World, whatever you want to put them out, and thousands of different Bible things and all like that. But it's a book of names. Because that was all that'd be needed. God doesn't need to write down all of our doings. He said he put our sins in to seal his forgetfulness. Well, I'm glad of that. See? But he made a record. The record is this Bible. This Bible, that we've been through it in the Church Age series, especially where the prophet covers in the Invisible Union, where he covers the one book with two sections, which is the book of life. And Judas had his name written in the book of life because his name was in this Bible. All right? But his name was not written in the Lamb's book of life section because that's eternal life. And see, he rejected eternal life. All right? But a record was made of him to where when it comes to a time of judgment, the book can be pulled. But who is going to be the book? Do you know that the ones that was around Judas at the times will be the ones that will stand forth and condemn him? He won't have to take the Bible and say, well, okay, we've got to read over here in Matthew. Let's see. You're found in, you know. No, it's people. The book of life, eternal section, is a book of names that should have come forth there in Genesis 1. You know, where it said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He should have come forth there, but it wasn't able to come forth because of the fall of mankind. All right? But when the fall came, did that stop the book from coming? No, it put the book back into the hand of the original where it was. In other words, he had brought it down to where that Adam and Eve was holding within themselves the ability to bring forth the correct understanding and the correct lineage of people. You agree with that? They had within them. Some of you didn't, but that's all right. They had within them, Adam and Eve had within them the ability to bring forth. Brother Brown said, even Isaiah and them should have come through the wound of Eve. See? Now, you can't figure that out because ain't no need trying to figure it out. Well, how could this have been and how could that have been? Just forget it. It didn't happen that way. We fail because God knowed we were going to fall. But then he started writing a book about us. And we call it the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You know. But you know, those were people. Right? And the natural life written behind them. You know that in the book of, what is it, Esther? That even the word God's not even in the book of Esther. because Esther is a basically a genealogy of records of the children of Israel and what happened in a time there that they put it in as a record, in record point. It's not even, the word God is not even used there because it's not dealing with that point. It's keeping records. A lot of this Bible is records, right? So-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And you can run their lineages all the way back by following what's written in this book and to see who we came from. You go back and study in Matthew 1. It gives the lineage coming down through to David and Judah and on down and comes down to where that Christ can come into being. Because it's a record of life. But see, within that also is names. Because that's all that's in the book of the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, the eternal section is a book of names. But see, then you'd write Genesis 1. All right, Genesis 1, everything was fine. It was only dealing with that one seed singular. But Genesis 2, man was put in flesh, right? All right. Then by putting us in flesh, God knew we'd fall. You say, well, I can't help it. They done it. Well, if you and I had been back there, we'd have done worse. And that's no problems, no talking, no arguing over a point. If you'd have been back there, if I'd have been back there, we would have done worse probably than what Adam and Eve done. That's just plain language. But listen, then once it was put in Genesis 2, the natural man, the flesh man, the capability of falling came, and man fell, and God started writing a record. But you know what? He was bringing forth that Genesis 1, 26 and 27, man. And it's called in Galatians 3, 16, and unto thy seed, singular, which is Christ. And that's why the prophet would say, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, he didn't say Jesus because that deals with the human flesh. But if you don't see Christ in every verse, he said, read it again because you've missed it. See, then the entire Bible is writing about mankind upon the earth. But the names of those that are the children of God. See, that was the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. See, then we see him over Revelation 5 with the book. All right. Now he not only just has a book in his hand, is what I was trying to get across Sunday, see. That book that you see, we're going to get on over into the chapter a little further to where that we're priests and kings. There in chapter 5. But we'll have to deal with some things about why did the book have to be sealed? All right. Looking at it to see what was going on to where that we can understand. See, then we conclude that it was a book of names. All right. Go ahead and pull up number 2, Brother Anderson. I like to give these because a lot of times you think it's my wording. And if my word's right, then I ain't worried about it anyway. You know, because I'd like to hear somebody else's definition of what happened in the beginning and what happened and how the book came about and how that you can tie it together to see the book of Revelations and understand. Because I'm interested in that, because there's my name. See? So watch what your prophet had to say in really it's called a church age book, the Sardesian Church Age, page 267. To begin with, there is no basis for the claims that the Lamb's Book of Life is not the same as the Book of Life. Just two sections, one book. Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life. All right? Now, not the same as the Book of Life. The Book of Life might be called the Lamb's Book of Life. or Christ's book of life, or even thy book and book of the living. See, that's what the Bible can be called, the Lamb's book of life. Look, only names are written in it. And then he gives you the scripture, Revelation 13:8. See? That everybody that doesn't have their names written in the Lamb's book of life will worship the beast or go after the system of organized religion and be parts of that. But the true bride will be searching for what she's trying to do, see? And trying to see if she can find herself. See, there's only names written then in that book of life of the one sitting on the throne. But that's you and I. That's our names. And our names being there puts us there as well as we're here. And, all right. And see, it was written before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 and 4. It was written. What? The Lamb's Book of Life, the eternal life section, was written before the foundation of the world. All right? Then the prophet of God said it was all planned out. It was all planned out. You see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible was really written. Pull that one up, because a lot of times you think that I'm saying book and Bible and things. Let's just let him say it. First seal, 1963, 318, paragraph 33. You see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. This book, the Bible, was really written before the foundation of the world. And Christ being the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And the members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. Now we've got to get to something on that. All right. And now it's being revealed whose names were in there all about it. I don't mind go ahead and telling you. So I'd write this down. Your name is sealed in the book. We'll quote in just a minute the next one. The book is sealed and you're sealed with the book. So it's revealing your name. You're trying to reveal the Antichrist. Everybody is about to break into the seals. Now, that goes all the way back 1982 and 83, right, Brother Gary? That I wouldn't try and back then to reveal the Antichrist. It was to reveal Jesus Christ. The literal seal itself, the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, will be naturally to Israel. The fourth seal is the Armageddon. That's in Israel. Fifth seal is fifth seal Jew. Sixth seal is tribulation period. The literal happening under the seals is to Israel. But see, we're sealed and the book is sealed. Why is it sealed? But now look what he's calling it. It's been sealed and now it's being revealed whose names were in there. All about it. What a great thing. And John, when he saw it, he said, everything in heaven, everything under the earth, everything, heard him saying amen and blessed and honor. He just really was having a great time, for the Lamb was worthy. Now think about it. The book's been sealed up. Drop over to number 5, brother. I get them going back there, and I give them numbers to follow by so they can lower it down just a hair. Paragraph 75, number 5. Run it up to that one. You're still on 4. There you go. Yeah. This is a message the prophet called the breach. You know, look. Now notice now this book is sealed, and you are sealed with the book. What greater thoughts could be brought than that? That the book is sealed, and we're sealed with the book until the day of redemption. That's why I ask you a simple question Sunday afternoon. Morning, one of the two there. Do you believe redemption's over? Because the Lamb can't leave the mercy seat until redemption is over. But the prophet in his preaching in 63, and that's why everybody thought it, it sounded just like the Lamb left the mercy seat in 63. Well, if it did, there ain't been nobody saved since then. Well, it's like I said Sunday, that'd leave the biggest portion of us out, wouldn't it? But you see, the Lamb can't leave the mercy seat. I don't care how many quotes you got of the Lamb leaving the mercy seat, be careful the way you're using them, because you got to remember the Lamb can't leave the mercy seat until redemption's over. That's why he stays there as a lamb, not a lion. The lamb is the only one that can take the book. The lion can't take the book. The lamb is the only one that can take the book. Because the redemption is not over until the lamb takes the book and pulls the seal off of it. It can't be done, see. So the book is sealed and you're sealed with the book. All right? It was actually planned and written before the foundation of the world. Only names written in the book, but it's been sealed up. It's been sealed up until the end time. What? About our names being there. You say, well, they've preached about this, they've preached about that. Yes, they have, but that's, you know, you've heard everything in the world on predestinations and foreknowledges and all like that. But see, in the end time, the book is to be revealed. And you know what most people wants to find is they like to read themselves in here, and they like to read it like a love story novel or something, because it's not spicy enough to just read their name. So they want to read it and spice it up to make it a story. Why are we always trying to find out what God's got against us instead of trying to find out how much God thinks of us? Am I right? We read thinking about what we've done wrong. Right? Isn't that most of our point? We read about what we've done wrong. Well, I was reading there the other day and I seen how wrong I was. Well, that's good. That's all right. That needs to be done. That's wonderful. But how about reading sometimes to find out what God thinks about you? Huh? Well, don't you think we ought to repent of our sins? Yeah. But if we don't, we're not his children. You're standing in a day and a time now when the children are proving that they don't believe their mother and daddy is their mother and daddy, because they're willing to face them, slap them, knock them down, kill them. They don't want them to rule over them. We was raised up in a time when we honored our fathers and our mothers. We cherished them for bringing us into the world. Now the children, you brought me into the world, you got to take care of me. Right? I mean, am I going wrong? No. So it shows that we're not in wanting to find out who we are. We're only wanting to find out if the Bible tells we done this, we done that, we done this, we got rid of this, we got this. You know, like I told you, the man said, I read them seals, I found myself as that white horse rider. He said, then I become the red horse rider. Then I become the black horse rider. Then I become the pale horse. I said, yep, you've lost the whole time, because every bit of that is Theron beast. No redeemable there. You can't redeem them beasts like that, the Theorons. It's only the Zoon beast can be redeemed. Would be your four combat beasts that we speak of, and we went through Ezekiel and things with it. But are you listening? See, then there's only names in the book. And that was the book that went back. your record had not been made of your life. The record of the children of Israel, the record of the sin of mankind, and all of that was not made until after the fall. Then God started keeping a record, writing down about what we'd done. And if you'll notice, see, Moses is way on over, but he's the one that writes Genesis. But time-wise, he's over quite a while in the Bible. Before, I didn't look it up to actually tell you, but he's on over a pretty good piece in the Bible before he even writes what God said about what had happened in Genesis, right? You understand what I mean by that? The fall had come, man had come down, great things had happened, floods had happened, all kind of things had taken place, and then Moses appears on the scene. Then he writes what went on back there, because that's what took him. God took him up on the mountain and showed him how to write this book, how to bring down a record and how to do the things. That's why your prophet was so wonderful when I seen what he was saying. We read the Ten Commandments, and it says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we think that's a book of rules. But if you'll think of it in a different way, Brother Gary was talking about it years ago, you know, the few times he did try to preach and quit, he at least had enough sense to quit. But if you read it different, see, instead of thou shalt not kill, if you read it, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. If you're true, honest in heart, you won't steal. You won't kill. Then Brother Branham comes along, and he said they didn't get what they thought they got when they got the Ten Commandments. They wanted a book of rules to tell them how good they were and what to do. And they got a revelation of Jesus Christ, written in the seals, the Ten Commandments. Prophet would call the Ten Commandments the seals, wouldn't have any trouble with it. Why? Because it's the entire Bible. What is sealed up? What has been sealed up? Now listen to what I'm talking about, you'll get it. What Moses done was written in this book, right? Now was that sealed up? No, it's written. He says Abraham lied. All kind of things about him. Gave his wife away 2 times. Right? That's not sealed. Anybody with a third grade education or whatever can read the Bible, the words off the page, true? So what is sealed? You remember we went through Jeremiah, that when they were going into bondage, when they were to go down into bondage, see, then they would take, and they would take all of those records of who owned what property. You know, this property belongs to one, this and all. To where they would know when they got back to get everything straight. And they would take that and they would bury them in earthly vessels underground to preserve them. And see, then when they came back, they could say, well, you own this, and you own this, and you own this. Well, because they had the deeds. That would be what you call an abstract title deed. Huh? And in doing that, there was a record made about those things, sealed up in an earthly vessel. And see, Jesus Christ was that earthly vessel that God was sealed up in. Right. You remember that Sunday? They didn't think about it, church. We can read what Moses done. We can read what Ezekiel done, Jeremiah done. But there was a mystery that was sealed up all of that time. And not even to be made known, even to the disciples in its fullness. but to be made known in the end time. See, if you took out all of the things that's written about what we've done and do, you wouldn't have it just a book of names. And that would be the children of God. But you see, it has to write to what happened to us, like Paul would say. You know, he would talk about the world and the things, and he would say, and such were some of you. See, that's the record kept in the book. But said, now you're clean. Why? Because then we can see Jesus Christ came on the scene and took away our sins. See? And then he would be the fulfillment of the book of Ruth. Read it sometime when you get a chance. Of Naomi and Ruth and all. Naomi was a Jew, and she went down. She left the land and went away trying to make a living. Her husband died. Her sons died. And, you know, they start back home, and Ruth goes with her. Well, when it got back there, the kinsman redeemer had a right to redeem. God, read the book of Ruth sometimes and just think about it. In right to the kinsman redeemer had to be somebody kinfolk, and he also had to be capable. There were certain things went with it. It wasn't just the fact you could say, well, this old sorry slop. No, he had to be capable of being able to be your kinsman. But if you remember the story, to show you how we were lost and in the world of sin, you remember the story in the book of Ruth. Naomi, you know, Boaz wasn't too interested in getting Naomi, right? She was an old woman and done past childbearing, so he wasn't going to have to do no work of brothers or whatever it would be, and he didn't have to be concerned with none of those things to carry on a lineage, all right? He wanted Ruth, and Ruth was a Gentile. But there was that staunch Jew. He wanted that beautiful Ruth for his wife. Yeah. But remember, Boaz told Naomi and Ruth, there's one closer to kin. We've got to give him the first opportunity. And if he buys Naomi, Ruth goes with it. So Boaz had to do the kinsman work. He had to wait on the man. He had to give him an opportunity. And he told him, he said, redeem your right of Naomi and her inheritance. And the man says, read the book there. He said, I will redeem. Boaz said, but there's one thing that you got to do. If you take Naomi and her property, you got to take Ruth and bear up children. Right? So the man was a good staunch Jew in the natural. So he didn't want to infiltrate his lineage with a Gentile. So he told Boaz, he said, I refuse the right to redeem Naomi. You do it. See, Boaz knew what he's doing. That's the only way he could get him to ever turn that down, because he done said, I'll take it. Right, now, you know what that is. We come here, kinfolks, to the devil, whether you like it or not. The devil is the one we came kinfolks to because of the fall. But see, he couldn't redeem us. Because he was the devil. But Jesus Christ came to pay the price. And he became our kinsman redeemer by becoming human flesh. God himself had to come down, not send a son. We don't believe in Trinitarian doctrines and things. We believe in one true and living God. See, would you send one of your children to die or would you go yourself? In other words, somebody said, we're going to kill somebody. You said, well, okay, son, I'm sorry. You got to go. You know, no, no. If we're any father at all, we'd go ourselves, right? And see, God didn't send a son down. That's what we think about in the Trinitarian. God sent his son. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in eternal sonship. We believe in eternal God. So God came himself down in human flesh. In other words, he took human flesh. That soul and that spirit within that body was Almighty God. But that body was a human element that Hebrews 10:5 says, a body thou hast prepared for me. He made a human body and came to earth. And within that would be the kinsman redeemer. Because that would be the only way the price could be paid. Would be that kinsman redeemer come and stand in our place. Right. And he paid the price. Then when he paid the price, he raised from the dead. Sent back on the day of Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to give us an abstract title deed. In other words, gave us eternal life in our soul. Body and spirit, we're still human mortals. But the soul of mankind is where the new birth starts. Right? He gave us that abstract title deed, but we didn't know how to call it that. Yeah. See, we didn't know to call it abstract and things. Those are words of this day. Right? But you see, he paid the price. All right? He redeemed us. You believe it? Now go back and ask that question again. Then if he redeemed us, why are we in the book of Revelation trying to find a redeemer? Are you thinking? Or are you asleep? Why have we got to come back in this end time to think about a kinsman redeemer? When we know who paid the price. We know who become kinfolks to us. Right? Now we're looking for a kinsman to come and take the book. Because in the book is the whole plan of redemption. The names, all of the names, all of the doing. Listen, folks, surely don't get in your mind, they're out there somewhere listening, that I'm talking about some kind of a something that wasn't worthy enough back there. That the price wasn't paid back there. It was. Jesus Christ paid the price. He became our kinsman. We become joint heirs, as I was trying to bring out Sunday, the Bible says. Joint heirs with Christ. That's why he said all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Then he turned right around and gives that power to the church. In my name you'll cast out devils. He gave the power to the church. He paid the price. He was the kinsman. Right? But see, where the problem was is what I tried to preach to you back about 2 months ago. When a prophet preached a message one day saying, raising Jesus from history. You know, if we're sitting here tonight with a historical God, sure, he paid the price. But how do we know he's our kinsman? How do we know the price has been paid? Well, I feel it in my heart. I was listening last night where Brother Branham was talking about the Mohammedan, the man talking to the Mohammedan, you know, and saying, well, your Mohammed religion is no good. Why don't you accept Jesus Christ? And the Mohammedan said, show me one thing that your Jesus Christ can do any more than Mohammed can do for me. He said, Mohammed said, Jesus promised us life after death. He said Muhammad did too. You remember the story, right? But even the Mohammedan turned around and said, Muhammad didn't tell us that we'd do the things that he done, but said, your God did. So now let's see them done and I'll accept it. Yeah. Right? So do we know about what it is of redemption? What would be the problem? Would we be looking for another redeemer to come? No, that's stupidity. But I asked you a simple question at the end of the message Sunday afternoon. I said, would your faith produce a lamb for you? Will your faith produce a lamb for you? Well, God's already produced it. Amen. But can we depend upon what he's done? Well, sure we can. We believe in him. Well, why don't we live like him? Right? But after 2,000 years, John is weeping for the kinsman to come. And John was there when the kinsman was here the first time. Right? He ate with him, slept with him, saw him die, saw him raised, experienced a new birth on the day of Pentecost to prove that he was that God, to prove he was the kinsman. Well, then why are you looking for a kinsman? But well, now we know they were. We know all is lost without that kinsman coming. See, then if we can't see the throne of Revelation 4 and the one sitting on the throne and see what that means, see that it means in your heart and your life is God sitting on the throne of your life to rule and reign in your heart. If we can't see that, we're crying for a redeemer. Why, after all that the prophet has said, all that we've spent of the 40-something years of studying the message, why is it that most people are still looking for a redeemer? Looking for somebody that can come and take us out of here. Then they got all kind of doctrines that run out from that, right? Trying to find a kinsman. You got the people believing in certain people being God because they believed they were the ones to come and take over after the prophet left. Why is the people of this message still looking for a redeemer? Well, Brother Dale, what are you looking for? I'm looking for that one to be able to fulfill Revelation 4 and climb up on the throne in my heart and sit down on this earthly throne that he has here upon earth, which is a very poor excuse. And only then can I realize a scene can open in heaven that I can see a book and find out that that book has got my name in it. And I preached to you there on Sunday, it's not Samuel Dale, it's not that, that's not your name in the book. That's your earthly name that mom and daddy gave you. See? That's why Paul had to, his name was Saul, and his name when he got converted had to be changed and made him to Paul. Peter was fine, means Cephas, but it had to be changed to Peter. Jacob's name had to be changed to Israel. You remember that in the Bible? Are you listening? Are we still looking for a kinsman to come, or do we know where the kinsman is? See, if you can see that kinsman on the throne in your heart, then you can realize, Brother Gary, that we are that book. We're not looking for a kinsman to come and take the book as to pay the price. Now maybe you'll catch on, see. The kinsman I'm talking about in the end time is not the one to pay the price. Jesus Christ paid the price. He was our kinsman that paid the price. Boaz could pay the price and redeem Naomi. But that wasn't all the story. Because the rest of the story was him to receive Ruth as a wife and bear children. And that first child, it went back to Naomi, remember? To carry her lineage of her family on. Read the book of Ruth. See, Jesus Christ paid the price 2,000 years ago. Our kinsman paid the price. But he hasn't taken possession yet. The price is paid, church. But can we accept it? Oh, yeah, we believe he can save us. You know, he can save us and he can do this. But do we put it all in him and say the price is already paid? John wasn't looking for a kinsman like that way. He was looking for a kinsman that could take the book and loose the seals. Not to be able to pay the price of redemption. Come on. Jot that down and think on it a little. John knew Jesus Christ paid the price. He'd experienced it in his own heart. He was looking for a lamb or a lion, or looking for a man, is what it where starts out in Revelation 5. We'll get to it Sunday. He was looking for a man to come and take the book. He knew an animal couldn't do it. There wasn't no form of talking about animals. But when the elder said the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, he can take the book and loose the seals. Come on, loosen the seals is to take the seal off the book. It's not the writing of the book. The book is written. You and I are the words that are in the book. You can read it to be personal. It's like going back there to where it says that when in the end time, it says when the towers fall, well, see, we've seen them fall. Two airplanes took them down, didn't they? They found a scroll in the Bible one time. And they stood before the water gate and read the scroll. This prophet's message was beginning to be preached when you had a water gate. In our day, and you lost a president on account of it. See, the Bible tells you right where you're at. The because it's a secret mystery within the book that we're trying to find, not a what, how we're guilty of this or guilty of that. We know we're all guilty. John, I don't believe, was trying to find somebody to pay the price. He knew the price had been paid. But he needed a revelation to where that something about this book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. He knew who that was. But he couldn't comprehend that book. He knew that one on the throne was Jesus Christ. You remember he heard his voice in chapter 4. It was the same voice that he heard while he was on earth walking with him. And that voice called him up. Chapter 4. He knew that throne and the symbols and the things. But he couldn't understand that book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And why a proclamation would go out through heaven for somebody, some man, to be able to come and take the book. No man was worthy. Brother Branham said that there was no way. He said Moses was there, looking down. Said Elijah was standing there. Moses was there. Listen how straight he makes it. All the apostles were standing there of all of the ones that had died. Look how personal he even straight, how he keeps it. All the holy men, Job, the sages, everyone was standing there, but nobody was worthy even to look at the book, let alone to take it and break the seals. See, the plan of redemption was sealed up in Jesus Christ. If we don't see him correctly, we may go by the grave. Yes, that's fine. Because that's what mankind has done down through time. Because they found no way for anybody to be able to take the book and loose the seals. We're not dealing with the paying the price. The price was paid in Jesus Christ. He is our kinsman. But to see how that kinsman could come and take you and me, take these old mortal bodies that we're living in and change them. Make us into like his own glorious body. Yeah. Salvation, as far as the understanding of the soul and the new birth, was made known to the disciples, written in the writings of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But they could only prophesy of a future event. Paul could only say, one day you'll be changed, a moment, a twinkle of an eye. This mortal put on immortality, etc. But see, they couldn't cover that part. But why? Because it was sealed. You see what I'm driving at? The kinsman redeemer that you and I need in the end time is the one that can take the book and loose the seals off and show the redemption of these bodies and souls, body and spirit of mankind. We know who paid the price. We know it was in Jesus Christ. We preach that. But we need the seals taken off of ourselves. We read what the prophet said. He said, the book is sealed and you're sealed with the book. You know that we are the believers in the book? That's what we are. That's what you say. Well, I can't find myself when I read Revelations. Come on, how many times have I been over that? You can't find yourself in the reading of the book anywhere. Just turn over to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation and start reading. And you'll never find Jesus there by himself. He's revealing himself to his bride or in his bride. The book of redemption has been opened. See, it was planned and written and all of the things, but what about it? As I said about Ruth and Boaz, then Boaz was a type of Christ. He paid the price. But then he got Ruth paying the price. Jesus Christ paid our price 2,000 years ago. I'm not talking about getting somebody to climb up on a cross and dying again. I'm pointing back to what happened there. But yet when he left that part there, there was something sealed up. It was sealed up until mankind didn't understand it. But here in the end time, it's coming forth that we can see that we're the book. We're the book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Now he can reveal you and I. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I think it's page 74. Brother Run said the bride is part of the mystery. You know what? She's got to be revealed. Be careful now, Brother Dale. You make too much out of yourself. I'm not trying to make too much out of myself. I'm trying to make something out of you. I'm not concerned about my end of the deal. I'm concerned with trying to get you to see who you are and see that you are the offspring of God. And he's taken the seals off of you. Right? Think on these things. Come on, brothers. Let's stand. Kinsman Redeemer, what are you looking for? I hope you understood my whole point. I'll say it one more time. The Kinsman Redeemer I'm talking about is Jesus Christ, and he came and paid the price 2,000 years ago. But he didn't claim the property of all of us at that time. He didn't claim the body. He claimed only the soul in possession, because that's where he went on the day of Pentecost, was right down into the soul of mankind. Now he's here to pay the price. And the paying of the price is not trying to find another kinsman, but to see what he done. He walked into immortality, to where no man has approached unto. That's what your Bible says. That Jesus Christ went to where no man, and no wonder was it when the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I want to see Jesus. He said, he's in a higher dimension. You can't go there. He went as far as he could go, but he couldn't go to the seventh dimension. Why? Because the Bible had said no man had approached to immortality but Jesus Christ. Immortality is mortal flesh made eternal. And when you say mortal, it's this. Then when you say immortality, it means this is made eternal. Well, see, then that's what we're not looking for, a new body. Looking for this body to be redeemed. Jesus Christ stood there after his resurrection in the eternal condition and said, feel my hands. See, we've been taught all of our life we're going to get a new body. Why? Is it that we don't believe God can redeem this one? Do we think this one is too bad? Resurrection is not replacement. I drop this Bible and pick up a book. That's not it. I got to pick the same thing back up. Same thing that went down came up. It proved it. Jesus did. And see, then why are we worried about anything? Let's get into the book of redemption. To see ourselves in that book. What do we got?
Seven. Yeah. Red Bull.
Anybody have a need?
The world will try to satisfy.
Anybody have a need?
Longing in my soul. satisfaction.
Somebody used to work with, and they got a little baby. It's got something wrong with his heart. They're going to operate on it. So let's just believe when they're going to operate.
They're
going to operate Friday. So let's just believe that all is well, right? Father, you heard our brother. He has a concern about this little one. So do we, Lord. You know them little ones touch our heart. So just reach down and be with that little baby and let the doctors perform their operation and all be well. We know you can do it without even them not being there. If you choose that way, that's fine. But just make all things well, Lord. We love you and we believe you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else that just have a need? We're only Jesus. Not looking for another Jesus to come. Not looking for another Redeemer. But to see what he's done. And see what he's still doing. How about you? You want to take her a prayer call? Okay. She's here for her mother. So let's just send a prayer cloth and believe all is well. You take this home and you give it to mommy, okay? Take it back there and give it to daddy and tell him to keep it. All right. Father, in Jesus' name, just go now and touch Anna and get this whole thing out of the way. We condemn it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your soul. Only. You believe it? See, the price is paid. But he ain't claimed it yet. This is in the end time of where he's claiming the possession. But when he gave you that baptism of the Holy Ghost, he laid claim on that body. See, one day this body then is going to have to be made eternal. But the Bible said we'd have a body like unto his own glorious body. When he was here, he could walk through the wall. Come, but he could sit down and eat. What a wonderful time to be able to understand the plan of redemption. Sweet love and joy and heaven's for all. One more time before we go. Does anybody have a need? Can satisfy your soul. You better go win. Friday, 3:30. Okay. Father, our sister's going Friday for surgery on her leg. We just ask you to take care of everything. Make it all whole and well because we believe you. In Jesus' name. Enjoy. How about it? Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Father, our brother's got to go for some things about his shoulder. And we just believe, Lord, that everything's going to be made well and whole. We thank you. And we love you. And we send this prayer cloth to believe in you. That by your stripes he's healed. In Jesus' name. Only Jesus. Anybody else before we go? Try your soul.